Pace has been set by the enemy of our soul. I have no doubt that he would love to keep this world not thinking about anything concerning eternity or eternal things. Can you say amen? People are very, very busy, and of course the church world, we have to accommodate and try to work around the busy schedules of people, and therefore we alter our services to fit into busy lifestyles. The problem is the busy lifestyles in the church in America is robbing us of a spiritual move of God that could really touch this nation, touch our families, and touch our lives. And God would love to see that change, but until we get a different kind of value system, that is simply not going to change. It is a hard time to minister. I'm the oldest of four ministers that meet together. I'm finally arriving to the place of getting a little bit of honor from other ministers simply because I have survived. Everybody say survive.
Survive.
Praise God. Amen. There's 1,700 ministers in America that leave the ministry every 30 days in the United States of America. 1,700 that are in evangelism and pastor, co-pastor in the ministry situation. 1,700 ministers leave the ministry annually. I mean, not annually. That would be 17,000 in 10 months. So it's pushing 20,000 a year that resigned. There was someone in Lakeland, as they called it, another casualty, a man that walked before his congregation and said, "This is it. I'm done. I'm not preaching anymore." People are burning out from the pressure. If you love God, then you're going to feel the pressure of trying to minister in a time when people's love for Christ is waning. Amen. We're in the day that the Bible spoke of. So in a day like that, we've got to, as Christians, to keep your heart with all diligence. Because out of it are the issues of life. And if you don't keep your heart, there's one who wants to win your heart. Remember, you can't serve two masters. You will love one and hate the other, or you will hate one and love the other. But you can't serve God and mammon. That's why the money message has really taken such a large portion of the Christian world in Pentecostalism and full gospel charismatic world. That's why it has grabbed it, and so many tens of thousands are running after it. Amen. Because mammon is what is offered.
Amen.
Amen. It's not love for God or love for Christ. You don't have to love Jesus to get rich. If God's going to make you rich for following Jesus, you don't have to love Jesus to get rich.
Amen.
Amen? Doesn't involve love at all. You have to love Jesus to deny yourself. You don't have to love Jesus to gratify yourself. Does that make sense to you tonight? So Jesus says, if you're going to be my disciple, I want you to love me enough to deny yourself. Now, denying yourself don't mean you're going to do without anything. It means you're going to quit trying to find fulfillment in things that are never going to fulfill. How many were sinners before you got saved? Again, let me say sinners before you got saved. All right, let me ask you a question. Did you find in sin what you found in Christ, the fulfillment in sin? Of course you did. That's a rhetorical question. If you say you did, then I'm going to really have to pray for you. Can you say amen? Praise God. Amen. Listen to me tonight. Many people are still trying to fill that hole. Why in the world would Tiger Woods, man, he's got a fine fox. Everybody say he got a fine fox. Don't you think his fox is fine? Look at me strange. You didn't know. Amen. I love you. You don't ever leave here. You keep coming because I need you to explain to these white people what I'm talking about. I say a fine fox and they think of something that's trying to rob their hen house. Amen. Tiger Woods has got a fine lady. Amen. She's a beautiful woman. I mean, she's not near as pretty as Pamela, but she's a beautiful lady. Why in the world? Listen, everybody asks me, I tell them the same thing. There's a God-shaped vacuum inside of everybody in this room and everybody in this world. Only God can fill that place in anybody's life. Amen. So Tiger Woods clearly Well, you know, when people get caught, they go to rehab and they get whatever their faith was. They reclaim it because they think if I show people I'm a changed person, then maybe my wife won't leave me and I get to see my kids and I won't have to pay alimony and maybe all these people endorsing me won't drop me and I won't lose these millions of dollars that I'm making. So he's going to go back to his Buddhist faith and reclaim that, and he's going to go to sexual rehab and try to reclaim that. But if he don't fill that hole in his heart, and the only thing Buddha has told him, according to him, amen, the Buddhist faith has told him is to get back into self-discipline. Look into yourself and find that discipline that you need. You know that don't fill that hole. See, Jesus doesn't just tell you to say no. Jesus offers you living water so that you won't thirst anymore. Can you say, man, there's a big difference in just saying no. I've tried just saying no back before I got saved. It didn't work.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
It didn't work. You know why? Because I didn't always want to say no until he filled that hole in me. I always said yes to sin, except it was some sin that would get me put in jail. Then I would say no to that. But I was seeking that only Jesus can do. Jesus told the woman at the well, if you knew who it was that asked you to give you to drink, to give me to drink, you would ask of me and I would give you living water and you wouldn't thirst anymore. So we got to clearly explain to people what Jesus is offering. If you think I'm a square, amen, you should see your face and compare it to my face on Sunday. Some people, you know what I mean? You listen, folks, amen, this is not something that's going to take all the fun out of life. Amen. And not only can you have fun, but if you die before you wake, you're going to heaven on top of that. Praise the Lord. Amen. His peace, his power, his fulfillment. Well, why do you think if you achieve these things, if you find the right guy, the right gal, that somehow everything's going to be all right? Tiger Woods is trying to fill that place that Jesus was talking to the woman at the well about in John's Gospel chapter 4. Amen. He said, woman, if you knew who it was. And he said, I know your life. You've had five husbands and now you're living in a relationship where you're not married. And what's she looking for? He said, you're looking for what only I can give you. Amen. And he used that well as an example. He said, you'll always keep coming back. You'll never get enough water to quench your thirst forever. You'll have to keep coming back over and over. But if you ask me, I'm able to give you something called living water, and you will never thirst again. I'll give you that will satisfy the deepest longings of your soul, along with sins forgiven and eternal life in the world to come. But I'm going to start with satisfying the deepest longings of your soul. See, people think if I come to Jesus, I'll never be satisfied. I can't have fun. All my fun will be over if I can't dabble in sin. Baloney. I've been there in that sinful lifestyle. I'm not going to tell you it's not fun for your flesh. If it wasn't fun for your flesh, you couldn't be tempted. But I will tell you this, it don't last. That fulfillment is short-lived. And I'm awfully glad to have a wife that's committed to me in sickness. We did vows yesterday at a wedding in that big church and about 100 people. And, you know, those traditional vows don't bother me at all, that I take you to be my wedded wife for better, for worse. There's a love that says, I'm going to stick it out with you. Amen. When the times are good and when times are bad, amen. Praise God. For richer, for poorer. Amen. Isn't it good to know there's somebody with you for who you are and not just what you have?
Amen.
Amen. In sickness and in health,
amen.
Isn't it good to know if you had your arms and legs cut off, somebody would put you in a wagon and take you to the mall? I believe Pamela would do that for me. Don't look at me so wild and crazy. Amen. Well, she would. I believe... Cut it out, Terry. Praise God. I'm just seeing who's listening tonight. It's good to know if I get sick. I mean, you know what they were talking about around here while you were out? I'm going to tell on all these people. You know what they said on St. Patrick's Day? Sean ought to go home and get you to honk some of them green things for him. Honor. I didn't say who said it. It just came down through the grapevine. So you know we were really praying for you. We did pray for you. We did pray for you. And we all know what comes out when all that's going on. Amen. I'm glad when I'm blowing chunks, my wife loves me. I tell you, it's good to have somebody that loves you when you're sick. My wife didn't just love me when I was throwing up. My wife loved me through nervous exhaustion, to where not only I became a burden to her. My fear, my anxiety literally became a burden to my wife. And she was going through things herself. And instead of me being strong for her, I became a little... She didn't say it. She didn't have to say it. I knew it. I couldn't... She would see me getting sick when the sun was going down. And she would see on a trip to the mountains, in the beautiful mountains, she would see me get sick, to where I would be all night long just sick and crying out before the Lord. And she would see me. We would take a vacation to the beach, and we would be in a condominium looking out with a balcony over the ocean, and see me so sick in my nerves that I couldn't enjoy one beautiful day or the beautiful view. And she would see me that way. Listen, this thing just about killed me, literally, physically, and spiritually. Just where was God? Where was God? The devil wanted to not just take my life. He wanted to destroy the faith that I had preached for all of those years. And I want you to know, it hit me at a youthful time in my life, when I would look like I was in perfect shape. I was pumping iron. I was taking my vitamins and saying my prayers. Amen. When this thing hit me. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. Amen. Still, it all comes back to Jesus. He chose to take me through that, not to deliver me from it. Because if he hadn't have, I know me enough to know, I would have fell back into the same old habits that got me of worry, that got me into that situation in the first place. So God had to take me through it in order to teach me some biblical principles. But I want you to know, his peace tonight in my heart is worth more than a big old church. If a big old church would break me, I'm glad I don't have it. I'm glad I'm here tonight. I'm glad that there's enough of me left to stand here before you, proclaim the gospel. I'm glad I can still be a husband to my wife. Amen. And take good care of her. Amen. I'm glad I can be a daddy to my children. Praise the Lord. I'm glad he let me see today, because I didn't think... There were times I wondered if he just might as well call me home. In fact, there was times when I just wanted him to take me home. And I'm not the first man to want that. Amen. Moses wanted that to happen. Amen. He had 3 million people. And every day, somebody's goat ate somebody's laundry, and they were right there at 6 a.m. in the morning wanting him to make them pay up. And everything else that went wrong, they were lined up. And his father-in-law heard him in there praying. You know what he was praying? Lord, in the name of Jesus, you parted the mighty Red Sea when I held out the rod. Give me a double portion of anointing that I can just expedite all of these things. Bless God, I'm full of faith and power. No, he said, Lord, take me home. Let me drop dead. Don't let me fall apart before the people and discourage them. Just let them come in here and find me dead and gone. Amen. And his father-in-law come in and said, you know, you really don't have to die, Moses. You can still be our leader. Get 70 men out here. Boy, that's a tall order, isn't it, today? Amen. Get 70 men. Wow, we can't even have a table with 12 men at it to show the... that's bad. We can't set a table that represents the Passover, because we can't find 12 men. You know, when they started Full Gospel Businessmen's, they said the man who started it, Demon Sicarius, he said he went to a tent meeting. He said about 75% of the people there were ladies. Ladies are carrying the church in large circles. Men show up and maybe, you know, do a little other thing, but I'm talking about the spiritual. Amen. Something's been shifted. Something's went terribly wrong. Demas Shikaria said, he said, if what I'm seeing in the churches is anything representative of what's going to happen when Jesus comes. He said heaven clearly isn't going to be populated with men. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. There are men who don't want a woman to say a word in church. It's a good thing they do. It's a good thing somebody says, Jesus, use me. Don't refuse me. Good thing somebody wants to be filled with the Holy Ghost, Brother Tate. Somebody wants to know more about God than just how to get your name written in heaven so you can go boldly, not think about it anymore. That's a whole other sermon. Why would Tiger Woods want to go out with some of these crazy women that if he wasn't rich and famous, wouldn't he be interested in? Amen? Because he's trying to fill a hole that Buddhism can't fill. And listen to this, Christians. Many Christians are not letting Christ fill the hole in them. And that's why we're so susceptible to so many temptations. Why in the world? Sandra Bullock is a good-looking woman. Come on, guys. Help me here. Your wife can... You can say that. She's good. She's not better looking than your wife, but she's a good-looking woman. How many will agree Sandra Bullock is... She's not a skank. Amen? She's a good-looking girl. Okay? She's got the moolah on top of that. Mama got the moolah. She gets $1 million a movie. Or 10 million. I don't know. It's way up. It's more than a million. And this guy that works on motorcycles and has this little business, and he's married to Sandra Bullock, and the fact that she would marry him instead of George Clooney, can you say amen, or Brad Pitt. And what's he doing? He's got this gal with all these, you know, tattoos all over the place, and he's having, and all these women are coming out of the woodwork. Why isn't he satisfied with all the money and Sandra Bullock? What is wrong with him? Somebody say, what is wrong with him? I'll tell you what's wrong with him. He's got the fortune, he's got the fame, he's got the fine foxy lady, but he don't have the living water. And until he finds living water, there ain't no woman pretty enough, sexy enough, not enough money in the bank to ever fulfill the deep longings of a soul that God was intended to live within. Can you say amen? And the world haven't figured that out, and the church hasn't figured it out. You can't serve God and mammon. It's the first time that money was actually given a name as if it was an entity in Scripture. Mammon. Money is neutral. How many know money is just that? It's money. But what it does for people, it gratifies. It's the gratification. If you had $10 million, now let's go on up with it. If you had $100 million and you were, they said, I'll give you $100 million, but you got to stay on a desert island by yourself for the rest of your life. Money wouldn't mean anything, would it? Come on, if you can't spend it, what good is it? Amen? What good is it? The only thing it can do for you is you buy something to gratify yourself with. And you can't serve God, and mammon literally means you can't serve God and self-gratification. And everybody thinks if I come to God, boy, I'm going to be one of those squares like the preacher down there. He don't have no fun. He don't drink up, shoot up, toke up. He don't have no fun. It's true to his wife. Just don't have no fun at all. I'm going to tell you something. Sin just about destroyed our marriage before we both came to Christ. Because we were trying to fill a hole with something or someone or something. And the longer we keep trying, the deeper you go into sin. There's a way that seems right to a man, but it leads somewhere. Do you know the road you're on tonight is going to take you somewhere? Every decision you make is going to be a decision you have to live with. Some people have involved themselves in illicit sex and contacted AIDS. And they're going to have to live with the reality, amen, of being HIV positive for the rest of their life. Some people have got into drugs, and the first time that they took a big snort of cocaine off of a mirror, it killed them. Their heart stopped. They didn't expect their heart to stop at that party. They expect to get high and have fun like everybody else. But their heart stopped there. Amen. That wasn't in the plan. That wasn't in the plan, but it happened. Everybody's looking for something out there, but it's not working. Senators in Congress putting their whole... I mean, the man that goes out on his wife that has cancer, she's in the process of dying. She's standing up with him as he campaigns, right by his side as a life partner. She had every right not to get involved in his political life. Stay home and take care of herself. But she stood up there beside John Edwards. And wasn't he a nice looking guy? Nice, wholesome looking guy. Had a great political future, was a possible candidate for president of the United States. But because he's trying to fill a hole, he's got a good, solid wife that loves him and stands with him. He's clearly a handsome man. He's got a political career and future because he's young and handsome. And he's well-liked. He's personable. But he's trying to fill a hole. And John Edwards' political career is gone. It's over. It's done. Because of a man that says, this isn't enough. This isn't enough. She isn't enough. None of this is enough. I need something else. And everybody's looking to fill that vacancy that only God can fill. Can you say amen? I'm so glad to be a Christian tonight. I'm so glad living water is real. I'm so glad it's not an emotional high. I'm so glad it's deeper than that. Can you say amen? I'm so glad that Jesus fills the deepest longings of my soul. I'm so glad that I have Pamela after 47 years. But listen, Pamela wouldn't be enough without Jesus. Do you hear what I'm telling you tonight? Pamela couldn't be enough without Jesus. But with Jesus, hallelujah, I can be happy with the wife of my youth. I can be happy with the clothes that he lets me wear. I don't look at somebody with a Rolex and wish I had it instead of my Timex, because I've got Jesus and his peace and his joy and his fulfillment. So the woman at the well is one of the most powerful stories. Listen, people need to understand. Yes, the greatest thing about this is what's going to happen when we die. But Jesus hit her with what was happening right where she lived in the immediate sense. Before he could get her ready to go to heaven when she died, he had to get her to realize that she needed what he had to offer in the here and now. If you drink from that well, you're going to get thirsty and come back again. But if you knew who it was that asked you to give me to drink, and you ask of me, I will give you living water here and now, and you will never thirst again. Why in the world do major Christian leaders break up with the love of God and the Holy Ghost and the anointing and the Word of God? Because they're still trying to fill a hole that Jesus isn't filling. Preaching does not fill that hole in me. The anointing don't fill that hole in me. The gifts don't fill that hole in me. Only the Lord can fill that hole in me. I went to Robert Gass's church, Robert Neil Gass in New England. Oh, what a church. That was the day before the mega churches, when 1,500 was a crowd. Now it's a, you know, drop in the bucket, but there was a day when 1,500 was a crowd. Amen? Remember back in the day when we filled our little church? Amen. It wasn't 1,500, but it was a crowd. Can you say amen? Listen to me. Went there in the dead of winter. People had chains, literal chains on their tires to drive on the icy roads. Amen. And I went and asked him, how many people attend your church? He said, about 1,500. So I said, how many people attend your church in the winter? He said, 1,500. What? You mean the weather doesn't affect? See, real spiritual hunger, where there's been a vacuum for the gospel and a vacuum for the gospel preached in power, people hungry for reality, God can actually fulfill me in the deepest longing of my life, not only seal me for heaven, but he can fulfill me in the here and now. Can you say amen? Christians need to represent a kingdom that is righteousness, peace, and so fulfilling it becomes a relationship with God that is nothing less than joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Listen to this. Whom having not seen, you believe in by faith. Yes, amen. I have not been to heaven, and I have not seen heaven, but I believe that heaven is real, bless God. And when I die one day, when I die, I believe that I'm going to that heaven, because although I haven't seen it, I believe that it exists and that I will be there. Yes, hallelujah. How hollow. Amen. Somebody that's trying to fill that hole, they need, listen, Jesus said, I got something to offer you right here, right now, for the hole in your life. Can you say amen? And yes, the greatest thing is get to heaven. But if some of you are trying to convince people they need to go to heaven, amen, and they need to see you filled and fulfilled. They need to see you happy, not just holy. Can you say amen?
Amen?
If Jesus can't make them happy, they don't want what you got. They don't know about heaven. They can't see that far. Amen. If you think you're going to scare them into heaven, you're not. Amen? You ain't never scared nobody into heaven yet. You can tell them the truth about hell and heaven, and you won't win a soul. Unless they see something in you that they don't have. What did Jesus tell the woman at the well? What did he talk about to her that was lost? What was the bait he used to fish with? How many know if we're going to go fishing with the Lord, we need to find out what he's using for bait. Maybe you got the wrong bait out there. Amen? 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 Come on. What did he tell her? What did he ask? Did he talk to her about heaven or hell initially? Did he? Come on, somebody. Anybody know John 4? Don't make me get my Bible and read it. Did he talk to her about hell? Did he talk to her about heaven? Initially. What did he talk to her about? Living water? I could give you water that you'd never thirst again. Oh, by the way, when you get saved and get that water, it's going to take care of the heaven and hell issue. But he's not going to be able to talk with her unless he starts talking right where she is, right here and now. God wants to showcase his church to people in the here and now of their life to get them ready for the hereafter. Come on, the church got to be a witness to what God can do in the here and now if we want them to start listening to us when we talk about the hereafter. Can you say amen? God wants to see me. God wants to use. I met a guy today at the gas station that I used to work with. And I was just so filled after this morning. I'm so glad, amen, that that's when I ran into him. Because I haven't seen him in a little over a year. That's how long I've been away. April will mark a year that I've been. And so he came running over to me and he said, Rev, is that you? And I thought, here's your sign. He knew it was me. You know what I mean? I wanted to say, here's your sign. Folks, I'm going to tell you something now. If you're going to go fishing, you better find out what Jesus is using for bait. In fact, Jesus is using us for bait.
Amen.
Did it ever occur to you that my life being fulfilled is the what he wants to use to catch men with?
Amen.
The God of this world has blinded the minds of men to the reality of heaven and hell.
Amen.
They don't see that, but initially what they see is somebody fulfilled in life, totally fulfilled. Somebody that has peace. Somebody that has joy. Somebody that has confidence and lives their life with confidence. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. So when he came over, I was so glad to greet him with a smile. I was so glad to let him know God is real in my life. I was so glad to let him see that. Let's go back to John. Come on, everybody here. How many wanted? Somebody said there was a prayer parade that we win souls. God would love to make you a soul winner.
Amen.
Amen. But you're going to have to use the right bait. Amen. So what did he talk to her about? What every one of us have access to and should be representative of. Jesus satisfied the deepest longings of our soul. You know what ministered at work more than anything else? Why people would come and ask me biblical questions and why they gave me scriptural credibility and they never heard me preach one sermon. It's when I would come in there on Monday with joy in my heart. Peace in my mind. Praise God. Amen. And I wasn't even whistling Amazing Grace. I was just whistling one of those. Have you ever whistled a tune out of joy and it didn't have any real anything to relate to? In other words, it wasn't the McDonald's theme or anything like that that we know well. And it wasn't Amazing Grace. When I went down to Jamaica, we got near the straw market where they sell to the tourists. And when we got near this one lady's market where she had these baskets, she began to hum very loudly. Mm-hmm. When she saw us, she said, are y'all missionaries? And we said, yeah, we sure are. We're here with missionaries. And we're, you know, and so she said, oh, good. She kind of walked a couple steps away, and then she walked back up close to us and went, bringing in the sheaves. If we'd have told her that we were Elvis fans, there for an Elvis convention, guess what she would have hummed? Whatever it takes to get your attention. Can you say amen? Amen. She would have done anything. Listen to me carefully tonight. When Jesus met that woman at the well that needed salvation, he knew she was a sinner. And he knew there was a hole in her that only God could fill. Amen. We're just telling people about the other part, which is the most important part, but we're not completely representative, amen, to them, that God can fulfill the deepest longings of your life with himself, that you're not going to give up something when you commit to follow Jesus Christ. When you deny yourself, it means your old base flesh nature. It doesn't mean that God is going to leave you empty and joyless in life. Isn't there a lot of good things that are not sin, that can be fully enjoyed without guilt? I did some things when I was in sin, and I would wake up wondering if I was going to get caught layering in with guilt. Listen, it's so good to get up and not feel guilty. It's so good to get up and feel clean. It's so good to get up in the morning and feel like if I draw my last breath, it's okie dokie, because there's nothing between me and my God. Not because I'm sinlessly perfect, but because I'm being totally honest and transparent before the Lord. Amen. Listen to me. You can't just argue truth without offering living water. Somebody give God glory in this room. I've heard it. I've seen it. It don't work. And Jesus didn't do it. I said Jesus didn't do it. I said Jesus didn't do it. So who in the world are you to think you're going to do it your way? You better come down off of that self-righteous tower before you fall down off of it. Amen? You're going to run people away from God. And you're going to lose your joy and your peace in the process. God doesn't gain anything, and neither do you. What do you think Jesus told Zacchaeus? How did Jesus motivate Peter? How did Jesus motivate Peter? How did Jesus motivate Peter after Peter denied him? What did Jesus do? Did he say, you better get your act together, clown? Next time you go out fishing, your boat's going to sink, bless God. You better get out there and preach my gospel. You better listen to me. What did Jesus do to motivate him? Come on, we better line up with Jesus. Amen. Amen. You ain't going to win nobody to God, and you're going to lose your joy and peace in the process. They fish all night and catch nothing. They're coming up to the bank. They're wore completely out. And there's a man up there cooking fish for hungry, wore out, tired, backslid, discouraged, fearful disciple. And the most vocal in the denial of Jesus was Simon Peter. What did Jesus do to motivate him to be willing to lay down his life for his Lord? What did he do to motivate him? Does anybody know what he did? Wave at me if you know what he did. You know something? Here's what I'm going to lay on you tonight. If we know how Jesus did it, why don't we start trying his way for a change? Amen? Amen? Why don't we try his way? Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because you wouldn't lift it anyway. But I'm your pastor tonight. And God shows me some things, just like he's doing it right now. This is not, I wish you could see my message here. Has nothing to do with what I'm preaching right now. God's turned it around because, you know what? Some of you stepped out in faith and said, Lord, I want to be a soul winner. I don't want to just spin my wheels till you come. I really want to reach somebody for Jesus. Well, then God is going to have to teach you how to fish if you're going to be a soul winner. Amen. We're going to have to follow Jesus' pattern. If you're going to stimulate somebody to serve God the way he wants to be served, we're going to have to get them to reciprocate love to him.
Right.
Amen? And we're going to have to tell them how much he loves them. I know you don't like to hear how much he loves them people that you don't like. Can you say amen? But I'm going to tell you straight up, that's why you're saved, because he loved those kind of people. And he came seeking you when you were a rat fink. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Didn't he come after you while you were a rat fink? Amen. God commends his love to us. No, he's not looking over sin. Sinners are going to get their comeuppance. Judgment's going to come, and it's going to come swiftly one of these days. But right now, Jesus' mission to this earth is not to judge the world. He came to seek, and he came to save. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He came to love the unlovable. Praise God. And some people are not going to listen, but the ones that do are going to get into the kingdom of God. When I first became a Christian, I hit my in-laws with heaven and hell issues immediately. I told them on no uncertain terms where they were going to go and how hot it was going to be. Amen. And when I got around my in-laws after giving them that message, you know what? They shunned me like the plague. They were too busy out here trying to fill that hole to think about anything I wrote in my letter. But I really believe when they saw something in Pamela and I remember when Maylene and Floyd came to church and they'd been watching us, I know, for years, because we've been following Jesus and staying together and loving God and, amen, finding some joy in our life and some laughter in our life. Amen. I remember when we got them into church, we told them there's a bluegrass group coming that sings gospel bluegrass, mandolin, banjo, and fiddle. And my mother-in-law is from the hills of Kentucky. And when you mention that kind of music, she came to church to hear the music. And we had these bluegrass musicians there. See, God's going to go fishing. God's getting ready to go fishing. Amen. I was fishing with everything I could. I was throwing that out there. I was throwing my hook out there saying, you better bite it. You better bite it. You're going to hell if you don't bite it. So you better get on that hook and you better let me reel you in for Jesus right here and now. Fish all scattered, run the other way hard as they could go. But these guys begin to play the praises of God on these instruments that she loved. And then each one of them took a turn telling what Jesus had done in their life, how Jesus had changed their life, and what Jesus can do in your life. And the ears pricked up. Praise God. Amen. Just like the woman at the well. Amen. I'm drinking from a fountain. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Drinking. We used to sing it because we used to do it and represent it to the world. Drinking from the springs of living water. Woo! Yeah, come on. You're about to get it. Happy now am I. My soul is satisfied. Drinking from the springs of living water. Wonderful and bountiful supply. That means I'm being fulfilled in my life. I'm happier than them because I'm in love with him. Amen. Pastor Busta Rhymes, can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Whom having not seen, you what? You love. With what? With what kind of love? What does it produce? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Boy, that guy came over today and he grabbed me by the hand and he said, Rev, he said, how you been? I said, I'm great. Because that's what he expected to hear. Because I follow Christ. Hallelujah. He fulfills me. Yeah, I'm going to heaven when I die, but right now I'm here. Yes, that's more important than anything else, but right now I'm here. This guy can't see that. If he could see that, he couldn't sleep at night until he came to Jesus, but he can't see it. But what he can see, amen, is that there's no hole in me. Praise God. Amen, there's no hole in me. Amen. 12 years working with him, I wasn't looking for no other woman, flirting with no other woman. Totally satisfied with my wife. And by the way, it's not because Pamela has absolutely, you know, that she is the epitome of womanhood. She's a wonderful lady, but you know, the epitome, you just found the epitome of womanhood. Oh, she is at the top of the ladder of women. She can offer more than any other. No wonder you're not looking for another one, because, oh, this is far better than this model that old Tiger is married to, and far better than Sandra Bullock. Why, this is Pamela Ann. Pamela's a wonderful lady, and I love her with all of my heart. But the reason I'm fulfilled is not because Pamela is my everything, and no other woman can compare. The reason I'm fulfilled is because Jesus is my everything. And I don't put such a trip on Pamela because I have him. And I love her with all of my heart. I'd lay down my life for her. You'd have to kill me to hurt her. And I wouldn't have to think twice about it. That's how much I love her. But I will not put the trip on her that she can be to me what only Christ can be. Can you say amen? And the reason we can have a happy marriage is because we're not putting a trip on each other. I'm not demanding that Pamela fill a hole in me. Some of you went through divorce and lost a someone. And you know what they went out looking for? Someone to fill a hole in them. Made you feel bad because you couldn't fill it. Well, listen, nobody can fill it until they get right with God. Can you say amen? Nobody. That's why the woman at the well, he said, he could have hit her in the face. I know. You know what he could have told her? You know what he could have told her? Everybody want to go fishing? Anybody in here want to go fishing with Jesus? Amen. Anybody want to fish with his bait? Amen. Anybody want to listen to him? Let him teach you as an example how to fish. You know what he could have hit her with? I know where you've been, woman. You're a sinful woman. He knew all of that. She knew all of that. Keep it up, lady. You're going to bust hell wide open. You think she'd have got saved at Jacob's well? You think a whole community would have heard about Jesus? Is that what he said? Is that the way he did it? Was it the truth? Was she a sinful lady? Was she on her way to a devil's hell? Yeah. Did he understand why she had a hole in her? Did he want her to understand what he had to offer her? Did he start talking to her about the hole in her and what he could give her? Did he? Did he? Did he? Did he? Was that hole so deep and so empty that how did she respond to him? So easy to get her saved and sealed for heaven. Amen. Lord, then give me this water. Can you say amen? And she must have got it, because a woman with that reputation went back into her community. So fulfilled within. Come and see a man. And it wasn't just a soothsayer, some come and see a man that told me everything I ever did. Literally, come and see a man that knows everything about my life. Where I've been and what I am and what I'm doing right now. But come and see a man that offered me something to fill this hole that I've been trying to fill with sin all these years. Come and see a man that can fulfill that. Come and see a man. She was so convincing. Can you say amen? The joy was so complete. Listen, she went fishing. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Come and see a man. And the Bible said a crowd showed up at Jacob's well. And Jesus is preaching to them. Can you say amen? And he's energized when they come back. And on the way back, after they tasted this water themselves, they met the woman. And they said, we believe because of your saying. You were so, listen, everybody say, whom have you not seen you love? She had seen him but loved him. But it's the way she loved him. When she was totally fulfilled by him. Amen. She was so enthralled and thrilled. Amen. To be a Christian. To be his in the sense of sins forgiven and this fulfillment that he gives. Amen. Even before the cross, God could fulfill people because he promised her living water. And she drank it that day. Looking forward to the cross by grace. Listen, she wasn't saved in the sense of what can happen after the cross, but she was fulfilled because Jesus can do that in a life that opens up to him. We believe, they said, because of thy saying, but now we have heard him for ourselves, and we know he is the Christ. He's the Son of the living God. Amen. And he does give this living water. We've tasted it for ourselves. What made them thirsty? Because she had drank her fill and they saw a woman totally fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Not just with the right words, the right truth, and the right facts, but full of living water. We don't show people what Jesus can do when we are totally fulfilled in Christ. And we can love them in spite of themselves. I used to pull my car in beside a guy that said, I had a bumper sticker back then on the old Mercury, and it said, you know, something about Jesus. And then on the other one, it said, God deliver me from your servants. This guy was one of those gothic guys that dressed in all black and he was anti-God in every sense of the word. Every time I saw him in the hall, he tried to get away from me, but I would purposely say, hey, buddy, how you doing today? Amen. I wanted him to know, I'm not afraid of you, and you shouldn't be afraid of me, because I'm not like the people who want to kill people if they're not part. I want you to see. I want you to understand. I want you to understand, amen, whatever you're after, you just keep after it. One of these days you're going to find out it's not going to work for you. Amen. I love a guy at work, how he went fishing. He went fishing right after he got saved. Right after he got saved, God started teaching him how to fish. Some people have never learned how to fish. All you've learned is how to judge. Well, they already know that. You're not going to inform them. Can you say, man? Jesus said, my mission here is not to condemn the world. So don't you take it upon yourself to do what he didn't come to do. Can you say, man? Is the world condemned? They're condemned already. His mission wasn't to add to it. He came to seek. He came to save. Can you say, man? If all he had to do is not come and let God judge and destroy it. I'm going to clue you in on something. You'd have went down with it. You're here because of pure mercy.
Amen.
Not because you got your act together, turned over a new leaf. You're here because God had mercy on your sorry old soul. Can you say amen? Amen. You'd have baked in hell with everybody else for eternity if Jesus hadn't hung on that cross. Amen. And commended love to you while you were yet in your sins. Can you say amen? Oh, church. Amen. If you're going to go fishing, you got to get the right bait. Amen. People need this water. And they got to see it in us. They got to see it in us, Brother Taylor. If I preach without joy, nobody's going to want what I got. Amen. If I teach without love, nobody's going to want to hear. Nobody will care how much we know until they know how much we care.
Amen.
Can you say amen? Somebody give God glory in this room tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So this guy came and he... He was a troubled man. He'd been through a terrible divorce. Troubled man in mind and body. He began to lose weight and just look strained all the time. I remember I was coming out one night. I walked out of the dressing room, changed out of my uniform and my street clothes, and I'm happy to be out of there, free at last, free at last. I'm free at last. Just like when you leave Publix, I come out the door, I'm free. Amen. And I walk out. I'm ready. All I got my mind on is parking lot, home, popcorn, Pamela, the dogs. I mean, you know, it's going to be a great night. Amen. I got dogs and women waiting for me. What better thing? They adore me. Amen. My wife thinks anyway, just I hope the illusion is held with her. Amen. And so I came out and he met me and he just said something, a little something. Rev, you seem awfully happy. And I said, well, I'm going home. Everybody understands that kind of happy. He said, no, I'm not talking about that. He said, you just seem happy. I said, happy is the man that hath the Lord God of Jacob for his help. I got his ear now. What got his ear to the scripture? Happiness. Joy. Peace. Confidence to face life. Fulfillment. I don't have to get drunk on the weekend. I don't have to find some other woman on the weekend. Amen. I'm happy. Amen. I see, and none of you guys, because we got young people here tonight. I don't know if you noticed them, but we got two of them here tonight. So we're going, amen. But I see young people in the mall. It's not you guys, but I see young people in the mall. And they got on designer jeans that cost $85, $95. Of course, now the trend is you've got to have holes in them. Boy, I gave some stuff to the Goodwill I wish I had back. Have you got some of them? Oh, you don't have them. You got them at home, don't you? Amen. Got holes in them. Well, see, if I could save that stuff I give to the Goodwill, throw it out there for $58, $65 each. How many holes are in? They cut them in them brand spanking new to make them look like they're old as the ones that I gave to the... I didn't even give them to the Goodwill, come to think of it, because nobody at the Goodwill would buy pants with holes in them. You can't give them suckers away, but you can sell them for $95. It's just an old thing. I just don't get it. But then a lot of people didn't get me when I was your age, so don't feel bad. Nobody gets young people, ever. Don't know where that was going. I just couldn't resist. I see young people in the mall with designer jeans that cost $85. Man, I remember when I got my jeans for school, I got three pair of jeans and five shirts and five pair of white socks. So if I lost one, I'd still match, you know, because socks, you do know about socks, don't you? They travel. Socks run and hide. And just, I really think it's a conspiracy. Outer space, they're beaming up socks. Aliens need socks really bad. And every now and then they just beam up some socks. And you look around and say, I had socks. I remember I had socks. And the aliens are one-legged because they don't take two. They just take one. Can you say amen? One-legged aliens beaming up socks. Amen. Listen, I'm happy about being saved. I'm 63 years old. I'm happy about being saved. This guy wanted to know why I was happy. And I said, because I got the Lord God of Jacob for my help. He started telling me his trouble. I started telling him, amen, I have troubles too, but God has brought me through. And I went all the way back to my childhood when God healed me of cancer. He said, do you believe God really did that? I said, I'm here. What can I say? Amen. If he didn't, I wouldn't be here because I was dying. But I'm here. I said, listen, man, God is God. He can do anything that he says he can do. Amen. He went to four different churches. And he said, I went to three, and it was hardly knew I was there, but he said, the fourth one I went to, when I walked in, he said, I felt loved. And he gave his heart to Jesus. And I mean, within 2 weeks after coming to Jesus, he's fishing at the job. Fishing for men. He said, I encountered your boss man day before yesterday. He just had been promoted after all of these years. And that's what he had always dreamed of, is going up the corporate ladder. And he said, I just got to talk with him the other night. He said, well, I hear you got a promotion. He said, yes, I did. Something I've wanted my whole life. Something I have worked so hard, sacrificed for. And they finally recognized my hard work and they promoted me. And since now he has drank this living water, he knows the guy's got a hole in him now. Because he just had a hole in him. And he knows no matter what he gets, it ain't going to fill that hole. So he asked him, he said, well, how's that working for you? You're finally there. How's it working? And the guy just broke right down. And he said, I'm unhappy. I'm unfulfilled. I got all this pressure on me, and the extra money don't mean anything with all this pressure that I'm under, and he went on and on. And the guy says, let me tell you something, man. He said, nothing you ever achieve is going to make you happy until you find Jesus Christ as your Savior. He said, I want to tell you that, because he said, I was where you are just a few weeks ago, but Jesus has come into my heart. Amen. What did he talk to him about? He talked to him about that big gaping hole in his heart. Can you say amen? What did Jesus talk to the woman at the well about? That big gaping hole in her heart. Can you say amen? See, there's one thing the world can't deny. If you live long enough, you're going to find out that sin won't fill that hole. That sex won't fill it. Money won't fill it. Being part of the in crowd won't fill it. Being famous won't fill it. Because somebody's married to Sandra Bullock. And they're not fulfilled. Jimi Hendrix was a rock star in my day. But he didn't fill that big hole. The lead singer of Boston, you don't remember Boston. I'm not talking about the chicken place. Amen. The lead singer for Boston. Engaged to be married to a beautiful lady, much younger than him, beautiful lady. Started to go back on tour, to reform the group and go back on tour, make a lot of money, be back up on stage. Had this beautiful home from the residuals of all the music they made back in the 80s. They found him hanging. No, I'm sorry. They found him sitting in the bathroom on the floor with a barbecue grill burning. So that the fumes would overtake him and kill him. He killed himself, locked in the bathroom with a barbecue grill in order to get the carbon dioxide or carbon monoxide. And he had a note pinned to his T-shirt. Getting ready to go back on tour, make more money, make more millions. Getting ready to get married to a beautiful young woman. And he had a note pinned on his T-shirt. You know what it said? It said, I am a lonely, lonely man. That means empty, hollow. Sex, drugs, money, applause couldn't fill the hole, because that is reserved for God and God alone. Jimi Hendrix regurgitated his own vomit and choked to death on it. And you know what he wrote before he died, his last album, or next to last album? You could hear the cry of his empty soul. No sun coming through my window. Feel like I'm living at the bottom of a grave. No sun. Can you see the darkness? This guy has multi-million dollars. Drugs and women. What? Cars, mansions, talent and abilities, applause, fame. No sun coming through my window. Feel like I'm living at the bottom of a grave. Won't somebody rescue me? I don't live today. And then the chorus kicks in, I don't live today. Maybe tomorrow, I just can't say. So he ODs. Chokes on his own vomit and dies. If you're going to fish for men, you've got to recognize there's a God-shaped vacuum. Hallelujah. And without exception, everybody I shared Christ with on my job saw the fulfillment in my life and realized it wasn't there because of money. It wasn't there because of extramarital affairs. It wasn't there because of drugs or drink. It was there because of the man that I serve, whose name is Jesus Christ. He gives me this water. Can you say amen? And the world needs it, and they need to see it in us. Truth alone, without seeing it in us. He made us living epistles, didn't he? We got a Bible, but he said before they listen to what's in the Bible, they're going to look at you. And it's their looking at you that's going to begin to communicate me to them. They're either going to see me or they're not. They're going to see what I can do in the immediate sense or they're not. And before we ever get them concerned about their eternal soul, amen, we need to recognize that their immediate concern is not about, they don't lay in bed at night and worry about that. But they're seeking, ever getting, and not having enough. Now let me close with this kind of prophetically here at the end. The reason that the prosperity movement has captured so many people away from the cross is because they're not being fulfilled by Christ. And therefore, they're looking for the same thing to fulfill them that the world is looking for. The goals are identical. To be rich, to be famous. Amen? Come on. The goals, there's no different. What they're going after, the reason they give it an offering, the reason they develop their faith is to have what the world has. In fact, part of their ministry is that the wealth of the Gentiles, see the covetousness in it? Covetousness is what? What does the Bible call covetousness itself? Idolatry. Can you say to me, you might as well say, listen, when I got saved, my grandma, I think, had it because they didn't know nothing about Buddhism. They just saw this fat guy with a bowl and they thought it maybe, you know, put bird seed in it or something. I don't know. Amen. This fat belly fellow with a bowl. Amen. So they you know, when I didn't want a Buddha thing around me. I didn't want nothing about no other God around. I met the true and living God. Isn't it good when somebody knocks on your door with some kind of gospel to sell? Amen. And you're so fulfilled in Jesus that you can greet him with a smile and say, I'm okay. And then say, but you need, no, I don't. No, I really, really don't. Can you say, my wife met some, I think Jehovah Witnesses, like over here, met some of them at the door, or Mormons or whoever they were, but she was just so happy in Jesus, it really scared them. Didn't it, family? Yeah, they were really bothered that she was fulfilled. I'm not searching. I'm fulfilled in Jesus Christ. My soul is saved. My life is changed. He's fulfilling the deepest longings of my soul. Hallelujah. Amen. So don't bring me anything else. Don't mess this up. This is too good. And one of them, she said, looked at her like, see, you could argue Dr. Witham right off. You can't win them that way, but they saw something in Pamela. Amen. All they had was a doctrine to sell. She had living water saturating her soul. And they saw fulfillment in a woman. They saw no fear of the future, no fear of the judgment to come, no fear of now in the sense, oh yeah, we have worries and concerns, but I'm talking about that strangulating fear that we can face life head on, hallelujah, with hope in our heart because we have help in our life. If we don't get this message through, if we don't begin to live a life that communicates that Jesus can do what he promised in terms of living water, we will never attract those people with those gaping holes. They won't listen to us talk about heaven until we can show them him. Amen? There's a guy at work, and I got to hurry, but there was a guy at work, and he's a Bible-quoting guy. He just would interrupt me talking to somebody, say, well, as somebody say, doesn't the Bible say, and they'd quote a scripture, say, chapter and verse, chapter and verse, chapter and verse. All he was concerned about is chapter and verse, not the accuracy of it or the intent of it or the essence of it. And he just ruined it for everybody. I mean, it would be like, you know, when you're fishing. Does anybody ever go fishing with you? Does that guy ever go fishing with you? Does he take the paddle and beat the water and holler at the fish while you're trying to catch them? Yes. Listen, I'm not here to play a game tonight, but I am here to get you the humor to let the guard down. Amen. You can't catch fish that way. You just run them all off. And some, and this guy, I hated him to come near me. Everybody thought, oh boy, he's gung-ho. He was so gung-ho, nobody paid any attention to it. Because everything he's come out of his mouth was to judge and criticize and prove that I'm saved and you're not, and I know more than you do. Amen? Well, who in the world wants to be around anybody like that? See him coming one way, they took off and went the other way. Amen. There he comes. And he took it as a badge. Yes, I'm persecuted for Jesus' sake. No, you're not. You're fishing with the wrong bait. Can you say amen? You're supposed to be a living epistle. I didn't know what an epistle was when I got saved. I thought epistles were the wives of the apostles. But God taught me how to fish. Second week after becoming a Christian, I let a man I worked with, member of the First Baptist Church, baptized in water, attending every Sunday and tithing, I led him to Christ. Second week that I was saved. It was my privilege. I didn't know how to lead anybody to Jesus. Actually, God put the fish on the line, reeled him in, and threw him up in my lap. And you know what? You know what hooked him, Sean? What hooked him? Everybody was in there smoking and telling dirty jokes, and I didn't go to the bar that night. It's been 2 weeks, and I didn't go to the ABC liquor store on my break, and I didn't get that old Fisher beer. Remember the, no, I'm sorry. I'm asking you to expose yourself. I don't know, Brother Taylor, how long you've been saved, but they had old beer called Fisher beer. It tastes like a horse. You know, it's just really bad beer. I mean, it's about the worst, cheapest beer, bad beer, but we wanted the alcohol. We didn't care what it tasted like. We're going to chug a lug it anyway. Get that old Fisher's beer and drink that. And they had, you know, all that Fisher's beer we'd taken and set aside to drink. And the guy was buying us Bennies. My boss was an alcoholic. He drank all night long. He didn't care if we drank as long as we got the job done. He bought us Benzedrine from the truck drivers so it would speed us up so we'd get a high peace count. He's an alcoholic. He's buying us Benzedrine. He doesn't care if we're drinking as long as we don't run over our feet with our tow motors or whatever, can you say, and get the job done. That's all he cared about, trying to fill a hole, trying to fill a hole, trying to fill a hole. Listen to me. I'm so glad I came to Jesus. I saw my boss man that was going up that corporate ladder. I saw him at a Toys R Us, amen, making minimum wage, stocking the shelf. Went from that corporate ladder with Winn-Dixie to stocking the shelf because of his alcoholism. Why is he throwing away his career and his marriage is broke up? Why did he do that? Amen, because he's trying to fill a hole. It was so good when I saw him in the Toys R Us one Christmas to let him know what Jesus had done in my heart. Can you say amen? What Jesus had done in my life. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, don't patty cake. Give God a hand. God can do this in us. Showcase us to the world. We got to drink from that fountain. We got to love him with everything we have and let the world see how fulfilling it is to serve this mighty God. Amen. So he would come up and run people away, run people away, run people away. Did he say something that wasn't biblically correct? No, they were lost. They were on their way to hell. Did he catch anybody? Not one person. What did Jesus do at Jacob's well? I know the hole's in you, and I know how to fill it. If you'll ask me, I can fill that hole right here and now. And when I fill that hole, I'll seal you for heaven on top of it. Can you say amen? But initially, I got to attract you to the recognition of the hole and that I and I alone, God and God alone, can fill it. How did he get Peter motivated? How did he get Peter motivated? Maybe you had a bad upbringing. Maybe your daddy was bad to you. Maybe there was just discipline and no love in it. What did he motivate Peter with? Threats of judgment or love?
Love.
Did he love him unconditionally?
Yeah.
Did he cook him fish when he didn't deserve it?
Yeah.
Did he mention one time, since Peter had wept bitterly and God knew it, did he mention his failure one time? Did he threaten him with judgment and death? Listen, this man's going to die a martyr's death because he falls so deeply in love with Jesus. He stimulated that love by loving him when he didn't deserve it. Can you say, man? If a man loved me, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? He'll do what? He'll keep my commandments. If he ever falls in love with me, and listen to this, listen, and they won't be grievous. It'll be a joy instead of a job to serve Jesus Christ. Amen. Wow. I said that at a pastor's meeting, they'd like to fell over backwards. That you could serve Jesus with joy instead of look at it as a job. I remember when it was a job for me. I broke under the load. I had a nervous exhaustion, almost killed me. And I made up my mind, I ain't going to fish like I used to fish, and ain't going to live like I used to live. Can you say, man, it's going to be different this time? The joy of the Lord is what strengthens me. The peace of God is what brings stability to my life. His living water is what fulfills the deepest longings of my soul. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'll be honest with you. I could use a bigger closet. I'll be real frank with you. Pamela could use a double big closet. Can you say? We're in a little 50s house. When they built them then, they built it with one toilet and little bitty closets because they had one suit for Sunday and that's it. Amen. And they had one pair of shoes for Sunday and that was it. Things have changed now. We need bigger closets because God gives us bigger blessings. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Amen. But I never looked longingly. Oh, yeah, I see some houses and think, dear Lord, if we had that house, wouldn't we be sitting pretty? Me and Pamela and the dogs in that house. We'd be having a time. Old Sophie would love to lay in that living room. Nobody could run like he was outdoors in that big old house. Oh, look at that pretty house. Yeah, but listen, I am so happy with Jesus. We sit down in our little 50s house the other day, and Pamela was feeling bad yesterday about feeling good. And I had to slap her two or three times. I slapped her with the word. I said, listen, he giveth us all things. See, some people look at our little house and say, oh, that's a little old bitty house over there, little old bitty. You've been to our house, some of you. It's a little unimposing house. Now, everybody in here got a bigger house than us except somebody that has a littler one. Then you say amen. You get that when you get home. But we're sitting there feeling so blessed. It's just bubbling up. We just feel so bad. We almost feel guilty for feeling good. Because we went through years of oppression and pressure that trips people put on us and trying to please everybody and please God and end up not pleasing anyone or him because we lose our joy and our peace. You can't please God then. And you can't reach people till we get it back. It's so good to go to a pastor's meeting and go in there and there was one man getting ready to quit. He was getting ready to resign. When we started meeting together, he was getting ready to resign his church. He's through with it. He's had it up to here. Amen. And you know what? He's going on. He's making big plans. He's got a vision. Amen. It's so good to go in and start telling people what the Lord is doing and prayers that are being answered and battles that are being won. Now, I don't have to do that. I can go in and tell about my problems. They will pray with me, and they do when I have issues, and I pray for them. But somebody has to demonstrate that this is real, this works, that Jesus is who he said he was, and he can do everything he said that he can do. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And it's good to hear the joyful sound. Hey, man, when God is moving and God is working, I want to win souls. We've asked the Lord to make us soul winners. And tonight, God wants to make us soul winners. Amen. By changing us and giving us the true joy of our salvation back, giving us a peace that passes understanding and a fulfillment that will communicate to people with big old holes inside. Amen. That Jesus can do what he said. He can give you this living water so that they will ask for that living water. And not only will he fulfill them, he will save them and secure them. Can you say amen? What a great God we serve tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet tonight? Everybody go like this. Do it again. Praise God. Go like that. Number 7 on here, if you will. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Do that again. Here you go. Come on. Come on. Now I'm going to ask you a question. How many have ever went fishing and got skunked, didn't catch anything? How many have ever fished with the wrong bait? Your heart was in the right place, but the bait was wrong. Wave at me if you've ever fished with the wrong bait. I'm looking at everybody. I'm just looking for a show of hand. You ever fished with the wrong bait?
Amen.
Amen. We fished with the wrong bait. We got skunked every time we went out, didn't we, Pam? They just wasn't biting. And yet, what we put on there was absolutely true. They were lost. They were on their way to hell. And we told them so on no such terms. Remember when we first got saved?
Oh, yeah.
We went fishing. We're going to get them saved. We're going to tell them where they're going. They'll get saved. No, they didn't. Didn't change a thing except their relationship with us. They shunned us like the plague. Can you say amen? But listen to me. When God hooked them by the Holy Spirit, he began to reel them in. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I just want to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. I saw people come to know Christ on the job. I saw it the second week. Amen. Saw a man get saved that was in church. That's the hardest people to get saved. Amen. That's a fish that really isn't hungry because they think they got it. But he saw. He walked out on the dock and he walked up to me, and when he looked me in the face, tears started streaming down his cheeks. Because he saw the before and he saw the after. And it wasn't just the works that changed. I had changed. And he looked me in the face and he said, "When you came in tonight, I saw something in your eyes." Boy, I want to put a double whammy on everybody. Amen. I want to just look. If this is going to get people saved, I'm ready. Amen. Pamela could get a lot of people saved. Got eyes like banjos. Amen. Big old eyes. Amen. You know what they saw? They saw the joy of Jesus. They saw the peace of God. They saw a new radiance in my life because I was drinking that living water, sitting out in my car, worshiping until the last minute, running in and clocking in. He walked out in church, but he didn't have what I had, and he knew he didn't have what I had. He wasn't drinking no living water. He'd just been baptized, joined the church, and went there on Sunday, but he got thirsty when he saw someone that was fulfilled. Can you say amen? And he come up to me and says, "I need to talk to you." Oh, I got excited. Amen. I'm going fishing. 2 weeks saved and I'm going fishing. And I remember we got on a weekend. We went over to his house and his wife and my wife went in and started talking at the kitchen table or living room. And we went back in the bedroom. Amen. He sat down on the bed and I stood right there beside of him. And I didn't know how to fish, reel anybody in. But see, God was doing it. God was doing it. Amen. Because there was a change in me. Amen. Listen, I wasn't confronting him about his faith. I wasn't confronting him about anything. What confronted him was he didn't have what I've got. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So he's weeping and he's crying. I said, "Larry, what can I tell you? All I can tell you was that I was like you are. I was lost too. I was empty too. And I was, oh, but I invited Jesus into my heart and everything changed." And Larry, and then I started crying. We both cried. I said, "And Larry, what did he do for me? He'll do for you." I'm snorting and crying. He's snorting and crying. And he gives his heart to Jesus right then and there. He's been to the mission field. His son has a learning disability and couldn't hardly get through elementary school and graduated from Southeastern Bible College. After he got saved, God put his hand on him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. He fell in love with Jesus Christ and became an active member and worker in his church. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come and follow me. And who will make you fishers of men? I will make you fishers of men. But if he's going to make you fisher of men, you've got to fish like he did. Can you say amen? There's too many joyless Christians trying to tell others what Christ can do for them. "He that gathereth not with me," even with good intentions, what ultimately happened? Scattereth. We're either going to let him use us to love others and reach them, or Satan is going to use our unbowed hearts to scatter. Shalom, You say you're jealous for me, saith God, but I say it is not for me. If it was for me, you would love like I love. If it was for me, you would weep and be broken over the lost and not flaunt your righteousness over them. One day everybody in here is going to need mercy from God. Every person in this room, there's no one in here. It's not going to come to a place in your life if God doesn't show you mercy. You're going to fall under His judgment. And the only way you can qualify for mercy is to be merciful. Can you say amen? It's time to grow up in God. The hour is late. The harvest is great. And the laborers are few. God wants to send us. While this song is playing, I want everyone here that wants your life to count as a soul winner to raise your hand. Let me see it if you want that to happen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Let's just lift Him up in this song before we leave this room tonight.